Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. Over there, it's not Andy Shea today. It's Chris Buchanani, host of the obligatory pregame show. Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Jim. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back. Sorry to disappoint all the Andy fans out there. I will do my level best to fill the large shoes today.
Well, I know there'll be two people disappointed, but we'll go after the rest of the fan base. How's that?
Both of his fans are going to be let down. Is that what you're trying to insinuate, Jim?
No, I'm not insinuating. I'm coming right out and saying it, Chris.
Boy, the Nutcracker suite to open the show today. Okay.
Well, hey, if Andy's going to abandon me this week, that's what he needs to put up with.
Of all weeks to leave you hanging, I agree. He probably earned it. That's fair.
And that's why I'm so happy to have you. It's a great week. Before we get started, though, I mentioned you're the host of the obligatory show. How about telling our listeners where the show is, where they could catch it? It's one of the great videos, Penn State stuff. For fans, and there may be folks who haven't seen it yet, tell our listeners where they could find you.
I appreciate the platform, Jim. Thanks so much. We welcome all Penn State fans, college football fans, to check out the obligatory PSU pregame show. You can see it on For the Bloggy's YouTube channel. So just go to YouTube and search For the Bloggy. You'll get a ton of great content, not just obligatory, a lot of great film studies, little documentaries on histories of games. Great channel for any Penn State football fan. We're broadcasting from Happy Valley Live, Pat Romano's new place on College Ave where the old Damon's was. It's going to be open whiteout weekend. If you're coming into town, come check it out. It's a Penn Stateiest place on earth. And they can also hear me on the obligatory PSU podcast, which you can get wherever you get your podcasts. So a lot of different ways to hear me and my co-hosts, Mike the Mailman, Kevin Horn, Brandon Noble, and Landon Tangwell. So thanks for letting me plug, Jim.
And there's never enough Chris Buchanani when talking Penn State football. And I'm serious about that, Chris. One of the things I really enjoy, and I think it's important in this week, with this is a huge whiteout game, even by whiteout standards, but you are literally a Penn State football historian. You teach the class on it. Literally, you teach the class on it. So I think it one of the most fascinating things with the whiteout is that younger people just think Penn State was always had the greatest show in college football. That wasn't the case. There was a time when the actual stadium reputation was it was quiet.
Indeed, as you mentioned, Jim, I do teach a course in Penn State football history for the university's Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. It's a three-session class that just wrapped up this week. And I spent a little extra time talking with my class this week about the history and the growth of the whiteout because I said, I want you to have some perspective on how we got from its origins, humble as they were during the four-win 2004 season and the first ever student section whiteout organized for Penn State's game against Purdue, a loss, to where we are today. And in fact, on my way up to Innovation Park, where I teach the in-class portion of the course, I passed by Beaver Stadium and I stopped and snapped a photo of Gate A where they now say over the entrance, they have the quote, the best student section in America by far. That was a quote from Kirk Herbstreit at halftime of the 2005 Ohio State game, a big win for the Nittany Lions, a matchup of ranked teams. Number 16, Penn State beats number 6, Ohio State in what will go on to be a bounce back Big Ten championship season. And that really is the moment in which the whiteout tradition is born because it's the energy and the memory of that game and Kirk giving our student section a reputation to live up to that really paves the way for everything that takes us to the moment we're all going to experience together on television or if you're lucky enough inside Beaver Stadium on Saturday night.
And ironically, a couple weeks ago, that 2005 team was honored. But if you were lucky enough to be inside the stadium that day when it really took hold, a couple things it went from student section to whole stadium whiteout.
Yes.
And that makes all the difference in the world. The students, hey, there's no doubt they lead the way. The rest of the crowd followed suit. And we got that game. That was the first game. The stadium was moving. Okay. It was swaying.
Yeah. So Guido D'Elia, Penn State's former director of marketing and branding, deserves so much credit, not just for the current atmosphere inside Beaver Stadium, but really because of the copycat effect and the consulting he's done across the country. The live college football experience as it exists in 2025 was looking for ways to keep the student body focused and enthusiastic and united through some tough times for the team on the field, and came up with the idea of reflecting the We Are Penn State spirit, that unified spirit, by getting everybody to wear the same color. And so it was obvious to start that with the student section, because that really is the beating heart of school spirit here in Happy Valley. And also you had the most ready access to the students, right? Because they're right there on campus. So it starts in the student section in 04, 05. The enthusiasm in that 05 Ohio State game does spread. It's infectious to the entire stadium. And so once that had been established, it was clear the students loved the tradition. They could execute it flawlessly. It was a beautiful, striking aesthetic in stadium and on television. The next move was, can we spread this to the entire stadium? And you wanted the right opponent under the right circumstances. And so in 2007, when Notre Dame was coming to town as part of the non-conference schedule, Penn State was going to be playing a game in prime time. That's when they decided to take the plunge. And as I told my students, it was not clear at all that first time that the rest of the fan base was going to adopt the whiteout as uniformly as the students did. So when they pulled that off as flawlessly as they did in 07, then you knew you really had something going. And if you look at the list of bucket list college football traditions, anyone published anywhere across the country, the whiteout's always part of it now. It's typically in the top five. Sometimes it's in the top two. And it's one of the only ones that dates to the 21st century. Most of these have decades and decades of practice and tradition behind them. So I think that's a real feather in Penn State's cap.
Why do you think it became the way it did?
I think it's a combination of a few things. It's the size of Penn State's stadium. Just very few venues can get together as many people as Penn State does. There's no question in my mind that the Penn State spirit really is. It's something special. It's unique. I understand this is a sport of passionate fan bases, and even among them, I think Penn State stands out. And just the fact that because white happens to be one of our two primary school colors, when you see all these different color outs, like Ohio State tries to do the black out and other schools try to do a gold out or a red out or whatever, it just doesn't have the visually striking quality of that huge stadium filled with 100,000 plus rabid fans all wearing white under the lights. It's just a confluence of factors that I think makes the white out in a class by itself.
And I'll tell you, and this isn't unique to Penn State, but I think Penn State has grasped it better than anybody else, is that now you're not attending a show, you're part of the show. As yeah. a fan. And when I know in the last couple of weeks, I brought this up multiple times, but Michigan can't get their first play from scrimmage off. Okay. You just came from your bench with your coaches and you can't get the play off. And all that does is promote more of it. That's the fan saying, we did that and we can keep on doing that at will. And you see it throughout the game then. They are now, the fans are part of the show, or they are the show.
And going back to Guido and his brilliance in executing all of this, he understood that you had to slowly introduce these concepts to fans, taking cues from the video boards, playing musical cues at the right time. You know, Zombie Nation had to evolve from everybody complaining about the loud, obnoxious music and the letters to the editor of the Daily Collegian to everybody embracing it as symbolic of all the catharsis in the moment against Ohio State in 05. And so he understood that you first had to condition the crowd that they were part of the presentation, that they had a role to play. And then once they picked up on that, you could start training them about how to respond and when, and that would just be passed on communally. So we're to this point where, as we look at what we'll be experiencing against Oregon there in this primetime whiteout, that's a process of years that now everything just runs seamlessly because it was approached so purposefully at the ground level. So again, all credit in the world to Guido for that and his staff.
And now I'm not in state college, you are.
Yeah.
So what does this do to the atmosphere in state college itself for this past week leading up to the whiteout?
Well, I mean, the town is named State College for a reason, Jim. When Evan Pugh, our first president, and the leaders who founded Penn State had this vision for the Farmers High School, they located it in the middle of cornfields and cow pastures. There was literally nothing here. And so the town has built up as the school has grown. That's been a parallel process. And as a result, you get this unique dynamic here that exists in very few places around the country where the town really is the university and vice versa. So to say that it is different in the 5 days leading up to a big football Saturday like this is an understatement. I mean, just the energy crackles through the air. There is nowhere else on earth I would rather be. And if you're fortunate enough to be here in the Nittany Valley in these days that have led up to this game, it is really just like nothing else. It's awesome.
And over the years, I've coming in from out of town. I come in typically on Friday before a home game, take care of things. Chris, a few years ago, we're doing now at the Buffalo Wild Wings, 2 to 4 Friday afternoons before every home game. So next time, make sure you come join us. But I was doing something downtown. I'm driving into town on College Avenue. There's so much traffic, so much going on. Chris, I just parked, pulled over, walked the rest of the way, and I'm walking faster than the cars are moving because there's just such congestion, so much going on downtown.
And if you want to experience it, you want to experience it on foot. And if anyone who is an old timer like you and me, Jim, who's trying to find the Buffalo Wild Wings, all you need to know is that it's at the site of the former parking lot that was across the street from the former multiplex that was next to the former gingerbread man. Now Permane Brothers Chipotle at a high-rise apartment complex.
That is the way to identify where things are, the former. All right, Chris, that's it for quarter one. As we go forward, we're going to actually talk some Oregon. We'll do that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. Sitting in for Andy Shea is Chris Buccanani. Thank you so much again, Chris, for sitting in. It's quarter number two of our show. This just a great week in Penn State football. It's whiteout week. Games coming up. Everyone excited about it for good reason. Let's talk about where this Penn State football team stands going into this. I know it doesn't matter, but AP poll comes out. Miami passes Penn State in the poll. I know it's irrelevant. Just win your games, and the polls don't mean anything.
Right.
However, with that said, what does that say about, say, the perception of Penn State so far this season?
Nationally, Jim, I don't think the perception of Penn State is an issue at all. I think among our fan base, there are probably a lot of people, and I could maybe include myself in that number, who think we're currently, based on our body of work, overranked at number three. I think Miami moving past Penn State is almost purely a reflection of their strength of schedule thus far versus our own. If the Nittany Lions win on Saturday, they'll be right back up at number two or perhaps higher.
And it doesn't, again, it doesn't matter. Because Penn State, it's about winning those big games, and Penn State has all of those in front of them, not behind. Mm-hmm. And I'll even say, Chris, I feel like last week Penn State got a bump when Indiana crushed Illinois. It all of a sudden adds more value to the game against Indiana.
Yes, I think if there was some concern that given the putrid quality of our non-conference schedule, the perception of Penn State at the end of the season would be entirely dependent on the Oregon and Ohio State games, not just the win by Indiana, but of course the manner in which they achieved victory. That helps us out. Helps our strength of schedule.
Yes, I think it does. And just as a quick aside on Indiana and their performance, you know, I think they're putting to rest, not just like you said, with the win, but the quality of the win. That last year was a one-hit wonder for Kurt Cignetti and the Indiana team. It looks like he's using the same formula. He's bringing in a transfer quarterback who's doing the job. I think he was like 21 of 23, something crazy, and five touchdowns in that game against an Illinois team that has a reputation of a good defense.
Yeah, you saw Indiana have some runaway wins like that last season, too. And I have to admit, it was a little surprising to me, not that they won, but the manner in which they did so. Number one, because it just seemed strange that they would be able to repeat that same type of performance where they just blow the absolute brakes off an opponent. But as you said, I don't know that I was entirely bought in on Illinois as a top 10 team. And we clearly oversampled on their bowl victory over South Carolina, I think, in assessing them, anybody who believed in that squad. But Brett Bielema teams tend to play you tough defensively, and they looked like a team that was built to grind down the pace of that game versus the talent Indiana has on its roster. So it's going to be, to me, fascinating to watch the Hoosiers of the next few weeks and see whether what we saw last Saturday was maybe a little bit of a mirage or whether it's actually representative of the strength of that roster.
Well, sometimes games get out of hand like that. One team has the momentum, right, and then it just goes off the rails,
right,
which is part of what Indiana isn't as good as they looked. Illinois isn't as bad as they look. However,
and the problem with Illinois' offense is built to win rock fight games, not shootouts.
Yes. So once it got going that way, they were defenseless, literally and figuratively. But I didn't mean to get off track there. So let's get back to, you know, Penn State, Oregon. And I've been saying all summer, you heard me say it, I'm sure, this season is about this game more than any other one, even more than Ohio State. You've got it at home. You've got them in a whiteout atmosphere. You've got everything set up for you. You've got a bye week, an out-of-conference schedule that's not going to test you, so you'll probably be healthy. They've been game planning this game for 8 months. Okay, James Franklin, Drew Aller, this is their opportunity game for both of them, that you can't win the big game, whether you're talking Drew Aller, James Franklin, this is the one. This is their best chance. This is their best shot at it, Chris.
I told my Penn State football history class, Jim, that it was appropriate. They were learning the story of Penn State football right now, because no matter the outcome on Saturday, we're all going to live through Penn State football history this weekend. I think there is just no question that the implications, win or lose, are so profound that this is a fork in the road for the program. The number of possibilities, I told my class, that are sitting up on a shelf right now and are awaiting the outcome of this game, good or bad, it makes it, in my opinion, probably the most consequential game for the program since the 1987 Fiesta Bowl. You can maybe talk about that 05 Ohio State game or the, you know, the four downs at Indiana the previous year to keep hope alive. But in terms of going into the game, what is at stake and what becomes possible going forward if you win and what becomes possible going forward if you lose is pretty dizzying when you stop and think about it, which I hope nobody inside the Lash building is doing.
James Franklin's a smart guy. He knows. He may not talk about it, but he knows the significance. And just to play it out for the listeners, Chris, I feel like you win this game against Oregon. Yeah, I know there's Indiana, there's at Iowa, there's some games that, you know, you gotta win and can be tested. It is almost as if you then, if you go into Columbus undefeated and play Ohio State, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but in a sense, it doesn't matter, win or lose. If you finish 12-0 or 11-1, your place in the playoff is set. You're going to be a highly seeded team. Probably, you know, if you lose that game to Ohio State, it could be you go into the playoffs 11-1 and your one loss is to the number one seeded, undefeated, defending national champion. Okay. That's a pretty good resume to have going into it. However, you lose this game, you go into Ohio State maybe thinking, oh goodness, another loss. You may not get the best. I know a year ago, two losses would get you into the playoffs. There's not the same guarantee year to year. They lose to Oregon, then Ohio State. They're thinking about whether they're going to make the playoffs or not.
Sure, and that speaks to your point about the Indiana outcome being favorable for Penn State. Certainly on its own, it does marginally increase what you perceive as Penn State's margin for error. But if you win the Oregon game, you blow that margin of error up substantially in terms of different paths to the playoffs. And I think, Jim, you focused on the microcosm of this season and the implications of this outcome. I think there are substantial macro issues in play. Win or lose, recruiting, program perception, I think up to and including the stability of our head coaching position. I think there is so much at stake on Saturday. It's really, you know, to paraphrase Kipling, it's risking it all on one turn of pitch and toss.
It really is. And James Franklin has to know that that's the case. And his national reputation is at stake in this game. So I guess that leads my question is,
I kind of wish game day wasn't here, to be honest. I said after the Ohio State game last year, I wish they'd just stop coming till we actually proved we can win one of these games and not clown ourselves every single time they show up. And so, that only heightens the intensity.
It does. And now, what's your confidence level in James Franklin? He's got the rep, you know, Big Game James. He's mocked with that. Are you betting on him coming through in a big game?
Like, no, absolutely not. My confidence level on a 1 to 10 scale is 0. Somebody told me on Twitter that I need to have faith. And I said, I'm like Natalie Imbruglia. I'm all out of faith. Okay. This right now, Jim, I am going into that stadium. I cannot wait to scream my head off and be part of the greatest show in college football. But to me, I'm one of the 300 Spartans at Thermopylae. Okay. I'm going in there expecting to die and also expecting to give my all nonetheless.
You know, this is the first reference to Thermopylae that we've had on my show in 10 years.
I'm happy to be responsible for it.
Yes, I will give all credit to you for that. Now, so from not X's and O's, but just James Franklin's handling of this, what are your keys for James Franklin in handling this kind of game?
Here's the frustrating part of my answer to that, Jim. I can't at this point identify any one particular thing. I love that James is a process-oriented guy. That speaks to my soul. I'm very much the same in the way I approach things. And I think he's buttoned down his process pretty well. In previous years, I said this after the Ohio State game last year, there were things I could find fault with, clock management, I think certain, you know, game preparation things. At this point, I think he's addressed all of the pain points, and yet we lost that game by a touchdown, and the offense didn't get in the end zone. I don't know what it is. That's the most frustrating thing. I can't give him any recipe to fix things up at this point. I think he needs to do what he has done, which is stay the course and be confident in his process. That's the only solution I can give him. You just asked me what my confidence level is, and to me, if it's anything above zero, you're lying to yourself or you're a fool.
Well, my quick before the break is, I feel like he's got to play to win and not to avoid losing, which I think he does against Ohio State. It's something
that might
about
still
those
be a
uniforms.
Fair critique. Sure. Okay. I'll buy that.
And I think even in the Notre Dame playoff loss, at the end of the game, he played to win. He didn't shrink. He didn't play to get into overtime, and it failed. It didn't work. I don't want him to use that as his example. Well, that doesn't work, so I'm not going to do that in this game. I want him. I thought he made the right decision. Drew Aller made a bad pass, but I think James Franklin was on the right track trying to win the game. All right, Chris, that's the end of quarter two. Guess what? We're going to play Ask Chris when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Chris Buccanani. He is not Andy Shea, but that doesn't stop us, Chris. It's quarter three. The listeners expect Ask Andy. We will replace it today with Ask Chris. So every time I read one of these questions and it says, hey, Andy, you got to hear it as, hey, Chris, okay?
Got it.
All right, let's see. Sam from Johnstown. Hey, Andy, or Chris, it's got to be asked. You're playing a top 10 team in the whiteout. Rather have Drew Aller or Bo Prabula out there.
Oh, boy. Hey, well, I have to answer these questions honestly, Jim.
Yes, you do. Pretend there's a gun to your head. Make it happen. Our listeners expect answers, Chris.
Okay, here's how I'm going to answer it. Clearly, you can infer from my comment, the answer is Bo Prabula. And this is why. First of all, because of who I am, Jim, I have the softest of soft spots for a young man who grew up in York, Pennsylvania, wearing a little Penn State football helmet and jersey in the backyard, dreaming of playing for the Nittany Lions. So I love the backstory of Bo. I love the fact that he wears number 9, which has always been my jersey number, going back to my love for Jim McMahon as a little kid. Right? I love that he's got that sort of like gritty, chutzpah, moxie style in the tradition of Matt McGloin and Trace McSorley. And I do think he's a great fit for Andy Kotelnicki's offense, and there's no question statistically he's vastly outperforming Drew Aller so far this season. So there are a lot of logical reasons for me to select Bo. But let me also say this. I don't care, because you go to war with the army you have, and the army we have is Drew Aller. And what's more, there's never a more popular figure on any college campus than the backup quarterback. And the parallels, to go back to Penn State football history, that I've been drawing since the end of the Notre Dame football loss you talked about before the break, was John Schaefer's rough end to the 1985 season and his interceptions that he threw in that Orange Bowl, and what happened the following year when he had Matt Kizner breathing down his neck. He held him off and led Penn State to a national championship the next year. That, to me, has been the parallel for Drew Aller. So listen, Bo's not in the locker room like Matt Kizner is, but the ghost of him is going to dog Drew all season long, just like the notion of fans wanting Matt Kizner to replace him as the starter did Matt Schaefer. So let's just hope that we fans today are as dumb as Penn State fans were in 1986, wanting the other quarterback to play.
You know, Chris, you and I have talked about this for years now, that the style of play from Bo Prabula fits what we feel like James Franklin wants and what Andy Kotelnicki can provide as an offensive coordinator. And when we all expected Drew Aller to be playing on Sundays this year and Bo Prabula to take over, and I got to tell my curiosity, I always was curious, what will this offense look like with Bo at the helm? And Bo, he has that intangible it factor in my mind. He has that. Drew Aller still has to prove that. And the way I put it, though, is I think Drew has the higher ceiling than Bo does. And you know what? Drew could put all of that conversation to rest Saturday evening against Oregon. Mm-hmm. And it's not, we're not asking him to do things beyond his capabilities, which are immense. He has great arm talent. He has all that. He's got great talent around him. It's just time for him to show up and show us that in the big game. All right, Chris, let's go to Justin in Montoursville, who says, can you evaluate for me the new wide receivers? I think they're a big upgrade, but I'd like your take.
I agree with that assessment. And despite the success that Trey Wallace is having at Ole Miss, which is not a surprise to me, he's a talented wide out, and I expected him to have a lot of success in Lane Kiffin's offense. It's a low bar performance-wise for them to represent an upgrade. But as we talked about, I think, in the offseason, Jim, what I really like about this trio of receivers that we brought in via the transfer portal is each one brings something different to the table. And through the first three games, especially since we have gotten to see, I think, maybe even a little bit more of Devontae Ross than the coaching staff thought we would based on his injury recovery timetable, they're all playing to form. We've seen a little bit of Kyron Hudson, the reliable move the sticks pair of hands who is going to make the contested catch when you need someone to. We've seen Trevor Peña move around the formation and contribute in Andy Kotelnicki's offense in different ways and really be maybe the most dynamic breakout talent of the group. And we've seen Devontae Ross show off his speed and be yet another one of these Sunbelt guys who makes that impact coming up to the Power Four level. So yeah, I think it's correct to say that they're the upgrade we needed. And when you add that to whatever Nick Singleton may bring when he's called upon as a receiver, and what I think has been a really nice three-game sample size from this trio of talented tight ends that we've got. If Drew is going to do what you just talked about against Oregon, it's not going to be because he didn't have the talent in terms of pass catchers in this offense.
I agree. And I think we're seeing more and more of Luke Reynolds. I believe in some of these games, the play calling was based more on, hey, we want to get the ball to this guy and this guy and this guy. You know, mm-hmm. We were looking at the game that way, not what's our best way to get the ball, you know, traverse it down the field. So this is why it's in, I think Oregon's going to be the first game that we see. Look, we're going to get the best opportunity wherever that might be. That's why I also think on these third down situations that have lacked success, and I know we're talking wide receivers, but man, look for Luke Reynolds on third down, like third and four, third and five. I think he can really be the guy.
Yeah, no surprise that Luke has established himself to me. And you're right, Jim, that was important in these games. Let those guys get reps, let them get hit, let them get some actual experience in games that matter. All those things were critical, no question. And just to clarify what I was saying, I was going to say, Drew doesn't have the performance we're all looking for. It won't be because his pass catchers are inadequate.
That's, yes, he's got the weapons, so no excuses. Now, we're going to, in quarter four, look at the game more closely, but Warren from Washington, D.C. is jumping the gun. How do you see this game playing out? If you're Penn State, do you emphasize the ground game, short passing game, control the ball, and keep the chains moving, or do we look to air it out and show an explosive offense?
Given the success Penn State had running on Oregon in the Big Ten championship game, which still, despite the struggles of Nick Singleton in the non-conference, I think needs to continue to be the bread and butter of this offense, I think I would, given the choice, I would probably advise that approach, because where I think the challenge for Penn State is going to be is just the multiple nature of Will Stein's offense and the number of speedy difference makers he can deploy in different formations and personnel groups and set them up with mismatches using motion. I think you want to keep that Oregon offense off the field as much as you can and try to build a two-score, ideally two-touchdown lead, and start forcing them into more of a box. Make them a little bit more predictable, and that should set up Jim Knowles for more success in his third go-around in the Knowles versus Stein chess match. So if I had to choose, I would say that. And also, I've not seen a whole lot of evidence that Penn State has that explosivity arrow in its quiver yet.
And no, and when they had the successful season last year, it was short passing game, running game going. And it feels like they want to establish that. Who doesn't? But that's the style of play where I think Oregon would be more comfortable in the shootout. All right, this is a, you know, no Ask Andy segment is complete without a question that includes food. So Jason from Ashburn, Virginia says, Jim, you mentioned that the whiteout is the big game also for tailgaters. So what food highlights your food spread for this game?
Oh, excellent question. So let me tell you what we are doing for our tailgate, Jim. First of all, this weekend, because it was the bye week, we had a drunken Zoom with all of our tailgate group where we set up like a fantasy football draft and we drafted our entire playlist for the tailgate. So our 12-hour playlist is going to be composed entirely of songs. Each one of us made about 12 or 13 picks. So that's how we set the table. And then what we decided for food is we're going to do two separate but distinct taco bars. We're going to do breakfast taco bar in the morning. We're going to transition to traditional taco bar for the lunch dinner course. Just perfect. You can kind of come and go as you please. You get a lot of different varieties. It's easy to eat on the go. We're going to do soft shells, hard shells, a few different meats. We've got shrimps. You know, we're going to have the traditional breakfast food in the morning. So it's all taco bar all the time for us this Saturday.
That is spectacular, Chris. And you know what my takeaway from that whole answer was?
Yeah.
It's a 7:30 game and you're going to be there in the morning for morning tailgate.
Lots open at 8 a.m. We'll see you there.
Fantastic. Well, just to fill in the answer for our tailgate,
please.
Those who know me knows my tailgate teammate is Andrew Goldberg, famous 409 Tailgate Club, barbecue sauces. So that expression, you know, Arby's, we've got the meats. Mm-hmm. No. Arby's is an amateur compared to us.
Arby's, they're pikers compared yes. to you guys.
Yes. So Andrew's got, you know, the grill responsibility going. well, first of all, he's smoking the pulled pork this week. He did his famous wings with his own lemon pepper seasoning on the grill. That's going on. I'm going to be doing, well, name ends in a vowel, Chris. Meatballs are made and ready. Okay. Yeah. So, and then we got various other, you know, the little smokies seasoned and cooked in barbecue sauce. They're crazy good.
People may I take advantage of the platform to make an uncompensated plug?
Sure.
Andrew's Gold Hand Bloody Mary mix is phenomenal. So because we're doing the taco bar, we're going to have a lot of tequila drinks, tequila blends. We're doing whiteout tequila. Shout out Mike Mowdy. We're going to blend that with the Gold Hand Bloody Mary mix. It's like a hot honey. And if people want to check that out, they can go to goldhenllc.com. Use the promo code mailman for 10% off.
And by the way, yes, we will have the Bloody Mary bar going. All right, that's it for Ask Chris. We got more to talk about when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Chris. We're talking all things whiteout, Penn State, Oregon. Chris, I think it's time to talk about the game itself. Penn State, we've been talking about it. Their out-of-conference schedule was just awful. Yeah, they win 52-6, and fans, what's wrong with the team? And you know what? It's a legit question. It truly is. But now, first of all, let's look at the other side of the ball. What could you tell us about Oregon? What can we expect from them? What do you think we're going to see from them?
Well, one of the issues in evaluating Oregon, in my opinion, Jim, is that their schedule thus far has been similar to Penn State's and that they've not faced a high caliber of competition. You know, the second week of the season, they hang 69 points on a Power Four school in Oklahoma State, and you think, it's like an unstoppable Death Star here. But then Oklahoma State goes on and loses to Tulsa, and you realize that it's just a complete dumpster fire there in Stillwater. So the big issue for me in evaluating Oregon is that we've not seen them against caliber of competition, even remotely approaching just the talent on Penn State's roster, let alone the mitigating factors of a hostile road environment with cross-country travel factored in. And, you know, as I suggested on Obligatory this week, there may or may not be some Michael Jordan Utah Jazz chicanery going on with some Altoona style pizza on the Friday night before the game. Don't know what factors could possibly play in. You know, I'm certainly not encouraging that, but you know, if somebody wanted to take on such a task, I'm going to be here in Happy Valley, Jim. I couldn't stop them. But we've really not seen their defense have to get too creative and show off really any kind of blitz pressure through their first four games. Offensively, I think they've taken advantage of the opportunity to just throw a ton of stuff to the wall. There is going to be a lot that Penn State is going to have had picked through over the last 2 weeks on tape. So I think it's fortunate that we had the bye week, because right now, Will Stein is aware of the challenge he has going up against this deep fast, talented, hard-hitting Penn State defense coordinated by Jim Knowles. And again, as I said in the prior segment, I think it's going to be all about getting Dante Moore comfortable with mismatches where Oregon's speed can catch Penn State in a situation where they can get their playmakers open in space. So defensively, I just don't have a great handle on what to expect from Oregon, other than I am relatively confident they are going to have to blitz to get pressure on Drew Aller, because I came away from looking at their tape versus Northwestern, which I think is the quote-unquote best team they've faced of the four they've played, somewhat underwhelmed by their pass rush from their front four.
Well, you hit on several different things there, Chris. First of all, going into the season, in fact, we got multiple questions in our Ask Andy segment about would Penn State be ready for this game playing three cupcakes, whereas Oregon plays three Power Four teams. Well, those three Power Four teams are just awful, okay? When Northwestern's the cream of the crop, and we're finding out Oregon State isn't the Pac-12 Oregon State that we knew and could challenge Oregon. They just are not. Oklahoma State, boy, I don't know what happened to them and Mike Gundy and that program, but
yeah, wheels just completely came off there.
They fell. Yes, it's a disaster there. So I'm not sure you could take away much in the way of, you know, this talent versus that talent. Wow, look at how well Oregon performed. But I do think a couple of things that I saw is this is typical of Oregon. They recruit well, which means they've got a lot of athletes there. They've got not one star running back. They've got a stable of running backs, okay? And so there's a lot of athleticism throughout the team. Has Dante Moore, one of the questions, and this is something most highly ranked teams had as a question mark. They were putting a new young quarterback out there.
Yeah.
And if you look at Ohio State and Texas, you know, it's a common thread. Alabama with a new quarterback. Very few teams had the veteran quarterback coming back. So there were some questions about Dante Moore going into this. Have you seen enough from him in these couple games? Again, mismatch games, but have you seen enough from him that if you're an Oregon fan, you'd be confident in Dante Moore?
Well, the Oregon fans themselves seem to be confident in him. And if I were putting myself in their shoes, I think I would be cautiously optimistic, let's say. I think that Dan Lanning's got a great track record now with that staff of being able to put quarterbacks in position to succeed. Moore's been part of the program now for well over a year. He was highly touted as a recruit, and there have been plenty of flashes of the, you know, five-star blue chipper so far through their first four games this season. If there's any source of reservation, I think it's that you've also seen him throw some off-target passes and make some questionable decisions that he just wasn't made to pay for, again, because the teams he was facing just didn't have the talent to do so. Penn State definitely does. There is no doubt. You can look at Dante Moore's tape from these first four games, and you can see decisions and you can see throws and say, if he makes that under the lights at the whiteout, the Penn State defense is going to make him pay a heavy price. So I think it's reasonable to be confident with some reservations if you're an Oregon fan.
I think from the Penn State fan standpoint, what you could be happy about, though, is he's not faced this type of talent in this type of atmosphere after making a cross-country flight. Those are the things that are different. And the other part to it is I talked about how athletic Oregon is. This Penn State defense is pretty athletic, too.
So yeah, with Moore specifically, I think he's mobile enough to extend plays in a way that's probably going to be annoying over the course of the night. I don't think he has the top-end speed to consistently make the defense pay for giving him running room. And that's not really his style of play as a quarterback. So Penn State sometimes over the years has struggled against true dual-threat quarterbacks. That's not Dante Moore, which is not to say he won't take opportunities to run, but he's no more a dual threat than Drew Aller. Let's say that.
Yeah, I think that that's a good way to express it.
And I say that with the caveat that Drew ran all over Oregon, relatively speaking, last year, and hasn't kept the ball a lot so far this season. And I expect we will see a little bit more of that versus the Ducks.
And I think that's another part of this third down offense that I keep talking about. And, you know, if I'm looking at stats from those games so far that concern me, you know, 0-for-5 throwing the ball on third down against Villanova, 3-of-12 on third down against Florida International. And I think Drew Aller will be more likely to, you know, 3rd and 4, things fall apart, run the ball, get that first down, where he may have been a little hesitant to do that in those first couple games.
I think all of that is spot on.
And now as we go through this with Oregon, and we talked about, you know, the narrative for James Franklin going into this, the narrative about Drew Aller, it's the same thing. Can you perform in the big games? What are you doing if you're Andy Kotelnicki to, can you help that process? Could the offensive coordinator help Drew Aller succeed early?
Well, contrary to what I said earlier in the segment, if it were me calling the plays and I wanted to give him confidence, I would try to take a shot downfield early. Because if you connect on it, it's great. If you don't, as long as it's not picked off, going back to my favorite football quote of all time from Woody Hayes, three things can happen when you throw the football and two of them are bad. But at the bare minimum, you've now given that defense something else to think about early on in the game. So you have a chance to really get your quarterback going and get your crowd hyped up. But the downside of that play is that, you know, you've used up one down, but you get the benefit of making the defense have to honor your willingness to go deep. And then beyond that, I think, you know, just let him complete easy passes to Luke Reynolds and get that run game going. Ketron Allen has shown that he's everything James Franklin said he would be after his first healthy offseason in the program. Let that dude tote the rock early on and let that O-line bully these guys up front.
And my take, and I haven't said this for a while, I used to get teased for saying it all the time, the easiest down to pass on is first down. And I think Penn State wants to establish the run. That first possession, I don't think they have to go over the top, but I want to see a play action pass. I got to think Oregon's saying, we got to stop Nick Singleton and Ketron Allen. Throw the ball on first down. Even if you're not getting, if it's 5-6 yards, you're setting yourself up now for second down. All right, Chris, we got 2 minutes left. I always like to give enough time for this. I want your prediction for the game and your bold prediction. Okay, so we will track this, and on bold prediction, the bolder, the better.
Okay, score prediction. If you watched Obligatory, you know where I'm at already. I'm not coming off it. I'm all out of faith, Jim.
Ooh.
At the risk of invoking Bo Prabula once again in an incendiary manner, pretend I am from Missouri and show me. You've got to show me, and don't come at me with schools like Memphis, SMU, and Boise State. This is a blue program who's got 946 wins all time. I don't want to be hanging my hat on we beat SMU. Win one of these games against a team with equal, or dare I say, even a little bit better talent. When it matters, you could not have it set up more favorably. It's everything we've been whining for. It's a home game. It's a top five matchup. I'm going with the coach's poll, not the AP. This is a top five matchup. It's under the lights. It's the whiteout. College game day is here. For once in our miserable lives, please just deliver. Just deliver. Just once. But am I going to have faith in your ability to do that? No, because I'm not an idiot. I got the Oregon Ducks winning 31-20.
Oh, my goodness. Just so you know, I'm not fibbing. Would you look at my prediction right there? Could you read that? Same score.
Penn State winning 31-20.
I do. All right. You got 30 seconds. Bold prediction, Chris.
The young superstar shows out. True freshman defensive end Chaz Coleman gets Dante Moore twice and leads Penn State in sacks.
Oh, that is a big one. I'll tell you what, as you saw my notes, I have Penn State 31-20. just like I said, they've been pointing to this game for months, or maybe it's me who's been doing that. I think they'll come prepared and ready.
Pray I'm wrong.
I pray you're wrong also. All right, Chris, that's it. Thank you so much. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.